hockey fans, and welcome to the Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Edward Fraser, here with prospect expert Ryan Kennedy. Today on the program, we're going to look at headlines from around the world of prospects. We've got an interview with Jason Botterill, the GM of the Buffalo Sabres. Our draft spotlight's on Ty Dellandre of the Flint Firebirds. And our team spotlight is on the Dallas Stars. Ryan, let's start with those headlines, and you're looking at the NCAA's Frozen Four.
Yeah, we're into the serious conference tournaments right now, so there's still a lot to be determined for the national tournament. If you don't know, it generally goes by the pairwise system, which is very complex, and I could not even begin to explain it, but essentially it's a ranking of all the teams, and then you have your automatic bids. So right now, there are some very interesting bubble teams, some traditional powers. The Minnesota Golden Gophers, North Dakota Fighting Hawks, and the Boston College Eagles. Now, two of those teams, North Dakota and Boston College, control their fate because they are still alive in their conference tournaments. The Gophers are done in the Big Ten, so they're basically hoping that everything breaks their way. There's still, you know, a slim chance that they get in. Now, the interesting thing about Minnesota is, should they miss the tournament, what does that mean for super freshman Casey Mittelstadt? Now, Jason Botterill will address Casey Mittelstadt and all the wonderful things he does on the ice in that interview. But this is a really interesting time if you're a Sabres fan, because if the Gophers don't make it, maybe you even see Mittelstadt in a Buffalo uniform by the end of the season. I mean, the Sabres aren't playing for anything. It'd be kind of fun to see what this kid could do. I don't have any intel on which way he'll go, but something to keep an eye out for. Now, if you are a fan of these teams and you're hoping that they get in, you're definitely going to want to keep an eye this weekend on a couple of the conference tournaments. Now, two have automatic bids that do not help you at all: Atlantic Hockey and the WCHA, because all the teams still left in those tournaments are outside of the top 16 in the pairwise. So they're going to sort of gum up the works there. There'll be one team from each, obviously. In the ECAC, this is very interesting because if Princeton or Harvard wins, that's trouble for the bubble teams. But if Cornell or Clarkson win, that could help because those teams are already good. They would get the bid. In Hockey East, it's very similar. Northeastern and Providence College, that's what you want if you're a bubble team. If it's Boston University or Boston College, obviously, that's trouble for teams that are not Boston College. So still a lot to be determined there.
Quinton Byfield, who's featured in the latest edition of the Hockey News, which is Future Watch, which is, of course, apropos to the prospects that we're talking about today. He's playing in the OHL Cup right now. Obviously, a lot of eyes on him.
Yeah, he's kind of the star of the show. And the OHL Cup is the end-of-the-year minor midget tournament. It is a fantastic tournament. I was there yesterday checking out a bunch of kids who will be eligible for the OHL draft coming up, and Quinton Byfield, the 6'3", 200-pound center of the York Simcoe Express, which is just north of Toronto. It's Connor McDavid territory. Both kids are from Newmarket, although I guess Connor McDavid's not a kid anymore. But yeah, Quinton Byfield, he is far and away the best prospect available for the OHL draft this year. And from what I saw, I mean, I get it. I get the hype. You got a kid here who is already man-sized. He's only going to get stronger. And he's fast. Like, that's the crazy thing. It's like, when he goes for pucks, he can, you know, punish guys physically. He can just crush them. But most of the time, he just skates past them, which is pretty amazing to watch. And, I mean, the way that he uses his defenseman at the point is very effective, because obviously he attracts a ton of attention. I saw him play against Mississauga. They had two very good big defensemen that they put on Byfield. And, I mean, it opens up lanes for other players on that Express team. And it's a very good team there. They're probably going to have at least four guys get drafted fairly high off that York Simcoe squad. Now, in a general sense, right now Flint and Sudbury are in a tank war for that number one pick in the OHL. They're neck and neck at the bottom of the standings. Don't know what's going to happen. Don't know who they're, you know, who they're going to select and what their strategy is. But those are the teams that will get first crack at Byfield.
Quentin Byfield looks like a good bet at this point. We don't like to project kids out that far. He's looking like a good bet to be number one in the NHL draft in 2020. Jack Hughes looks like a good bet to be number one in 2019. And he's breaking all sorts of records with the NDTP this year.
Yeah, and the most impressive thing about Jack Hughes' season is that so much of it has been done with the under 18 squad. And it's not just that he's playing for them, he's their number one center. He's been playing down the middle with Oliver Wahlstrom on one side and Joel Farabee on the other. Both of those kids are going to be NHL first rounders in Dallas when the draft comes there this summer. And Hughes has been incredible for them. He more than pulls his weight. The U-17 record for points in a season was 82. Phil Kessel and Clayton Keller held that record. Keller did it mostly with the under-17s and then some games with the under-18s. Kessel, it was a little more evenly split, but he did it on the wing, obviously. So for Hughes to play basically half his schedule, if not more, because he's still up with the under-18s, and to do it as a center, and I mean, last time I checked, he was up to 87 points. Like, he broke the record, and he's adding to it as we speak. You know, he's still going. Just amazing. I mean, you're looking at a kid that has amazing speed, so dynamic, so hard to contain. Like, you know, I know we don't like to compare kids to NHLers.
You don't like to compare.
I don't like to do it. Yeah, I get tripped up when, you know, when I get put on the spot. But like with Hughes, it's a bit easier because it's like I see him on the ice and it's like he's Patrick Kane. But he's doing it more so as a center than a winger. And, you know, just talking to scouts and agents, they thought, like, yeah, you know, we figured he'd be good, but not this good. I mean, there's so much more room for him to grow, and he's already just laying waste to opponents. It's incredible.
So I want to put you on the spot here. I know Hughes has the edge because he's got an extra year of experience, but Byfield or Hughes at this point, who would you take?
Wow, see, that's really interesting because they're so different because Hughes is like 5'10". I feel that, I'll be diplomatic and say that like Byfield, I know. Well, and also I will point out Alexis Lafreniere, who's up for the 2020 draft, he's already ripping it up in the Quebec League. So we'll keep him in mind too because he's excellent. But, I mean, Byfield with his size and his speed, like he virtually can't fail as an NHLer. Like there will be a role for him in the NHL just by virtue of all the skill sets and physical talents he has. With Hughes, I think he's Patrick Kane, and obviously we've seen Kane thrive at the highest levels in the NHL. Hughes is gonna get there first. And I think with how fast the game is, he'll have a chance to succeed. Really, the acid test comes next year when Byfield's in the OHL playing against, older, stronger competition. Hughes we've seen play against USHLers who are, you know, up to 20 years old, and he thrashed them.
I don't think there's any doubt that the Buffalo Sabres rebuild is behind schedule. When they started collecting all those draft picks and had all those prospects, we went out on, I guess, a limb and said that they were going to win the Stanley Cup in 2019. Now, that was a bit of showmanship on our part,
sure.
But looks pretty bad in hindsight. That said, the future is bright in Buffalo. We're going to talk to Jason Botterill in a second, but Ryan, before we get into that, I want to get your thoughts on exactly how long you think it'll take until, let's be realistic and say that this Sabres team becomes a playoff club again.
Yeah, I think that the draft lottery will have a huge impact on that because if the Sabres get Rasmus Dahlin, then all of a sudden things look a lot more optimistic because the thing that the Sabres need more than anything is blue liners. And if you had somebody like Rasmus Dahlin in your lineup, then all of a sudden the burden on Rasmus Ristolainen is lessened significantly. And, you know, you've got some guys coming up like Brendan Goulet who, you know, they're not like high end, but they can certainly help out and they can make your team faster and more mobile, a better transition team. So I think we're really going to have to wait and see where Buffalo falls in the draft order, because that could make all the difference. If you have Dahlin in the lineup and like a healthy Eichel, and you have a is Robin Lehner the goaltender? I'm not sure, but at least you can address that in the summer. If all those things fall in Buffalo's direction, I don't see why they can't compete as soon as next year. More realistically, you're probably looking at, 3 years, because this is a team, and Jason Botterill speaks of this in the interview, that, he had to bring in his own guys, his own scouts, when he took over as GM, and I think he did very well in that capacity. He brought in some guys with proven track records, and now it's all a matter of, getting a couple of your own drafts under your belt and getting your kids into the pipeline.
Here's Ryan's conversation with the always insightful Jason Botterill.
I'm here with Buffalo Sabres GM Jason Botterill. And Jason, first off, when you took over the Sabres, obviously you wanted to put together a scouting staff that reflected your goals for the team. How does that process go about exactly?
Well, obviously there was a lot on our plate last year trying to put everything together, both with the coaching staff but also with the scouting staff. But if you look at my two hires from assistant general managers, there was a big emphasis on amateur scouting. Both of them had a background in that. Both Steve Greeley coming over from the New York Rangers, and obviously Randy Sexton, who had worked with in Pittsburgh. And Randy oversees our amateur staff. It was a situation where I give them a lot of credit for going out there, understanding, having a little bit more background on who are the good amateur scouts out there. And I felt a lot of confidence with Randy just because of what we had created or helped create in Pittsburgh, and something that we wanted to try to bring over here to Buffalo. So having two sort of senior advisors like that, and Steve and Randy, they're very helpful in putting it together. But obviously it's very difficult, throughout the summer, trying to find people that don't already have commitments and that can fit sort of the model that you're trying to set up. But very happy with what we have right now, and sort of the crossover guys of Ryan Jankowski, Jeff Crisp, and Ron Payette. We feel that they've done an outstanding job. And throughout the entire summer, we had some clinics to sort of make sure our staff knew what we're looking for in the fall. And just as the season goes on, you're trying to communicate as much as possible. But I've been very happy the way the meetings have gone, and been looking forward to the draft then in June.
Now, we are getting to the stretch run of the prospect season. Every team has a meeting before the draft to bring everybody together. What exactly happens there?
Well, it's a situation where, to me, the successful organizations are certainly communicating throughout the entire year on players they align, players they need to focus in on more, making sure that they are prepared for the year-end meetings. So it's a scenario where especially our crossover guys are interacting a lot with the regional guys and having that dialogue. But in May, we'll get together as a staff and sort of put our final list together from that standpoint, and really have the discussions on how we want, what players should be in different roles. Then you certainly have the combine, which works out very well being right in Buffalo there for us. And it's just a situation of then making some adjustments after getting the results from the physical testing and going through the interview process with these guys. But it's a scenario where I like to try to get out, see as many players as I can, but have the utmost confidence in our staff that they're going to make the right selections for the Buffalo Sabres.
Excellent. And speaking of those selections, some pretty exciting players coming up the pipeline for Buffalo, starting off with Casey Mittelstadt, who obviously Sabres fans got a great look at the World Juniors winners in Buffalo. But what do you like about Casey?
Well, Casey, what we really like about it is just his hockey sense. It's his ability, in Buffalo right now, we're trying to produce more goals and add a little bit more skill to our lineup. And down the road, we think Casey can be certainly a player that helps out our organization quite a bit. But high-end hockey sense, high-end compete level. And to be honest, we were very excited for Casey and how he performed at the World Juniors. I thought in crucial situations, he was one of the best players for the Team USA. And instead of being in a situation where he was feeling the pressure of being in Buffalo and everything, he really raised his game to another level in that situation.
Excellent. Another first-rounder that was there in Buffalo, Alexander Nylander, playing in the AHL for Rochester. How do you feel about Alex's development so far?
Well, it was a difficult start this season for Alex, just simply because he ran into an injury right off the bat, which was disappointing, because you saw he had put in a really hard summer, both at our development camp and when he first got to our rookie tournament in Buffalo. We could see that he had matured as a player and gotten stronger. And then with the injury, that sort of set him back in the first part of the season. But we did feel, you know, attending the World Juniors in Buffalo was a great opportunity for him to play against his own level. And look, it is the American Hockey League. It's a difficult step for a young player, especially a young 19-year-old like he is. But especially in recent weeks, the points are starting to produce. And just overall, we've been very happy with his game. He's worked extremely hard with our coaching staff down there. You always know that Alex has the skill, the sense, the power play ability. And he's now getting to the net quite a bit more and creating a lot more opportunities off of that. So we've been very excited about his development here in the second half.
Right on. Now, one player who's already made his Sabres debut, Brendan Goulet, a mobile defenseman. We know everybody loves those in the NHL right now. What are your thoughts on Brendan?
Well, it was a situation where I thought Brendan had an outstanding first half of the season. Obviously, every young prospect wants to be in the National Hockey League, but he understood that there was a process, really worked again with our coaching staff down in Rochester. Got an opportunity to come up in January and performed extremely well in two games. Again, then goes back to Rochester, sustains an injury. It took him a little while to get back going, but what gets us excited about is just his ability to skate. And you see how Phil wants to play, wants our Sabre defense group getting up with the rush, creating offense from the back end, and that's Brendan's game. And so that's why we obviously understand that there's certainly things they continue to improve on from the defensive standpoint, but we're very excited about the strides he's made so far this year.
Excellent. And finally, a player that I've been watching for a couple of years now who always impressed me with Rasmus Asplund. What do you like about Rasmus and his possible future with the Sabres?
We just really like his well-roundedness to his game. And the fact that in the fall he was able to play for the Team Sweden for the Senior Men's League national team at the Carlisle Cup, we thought that was a great experience for him. You know, he was more in a penalty-killing role there, but I thought handled himself extremely well in that scenario there. And, you know, you just saw it last year in our development camp. He was a leader in that environment there, really competed hard and throughout all the days in the camp and really made a great impression on our coaching staff. And, you know, obviously the Swedish Elite League is a great league and has a great track record of developing their players there. And, you know, we'll continue to talk to him after the season, but we're very excited about the well-roundedness of his game. We think he can be a power play guy, a penalty kill guy, a guy who can play center, can play wing. And I think that versatility is certainly going to help out our organization in the future.
Sounds great. Well, thanks so much for doing this, Jason.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Our 2018 draft spotlight for this edition is on Ty Dellandrea, the Flint Firebirds. Ryan, tell us a little bit about Dellandrea.
Well, this is a player that has really taken off, particularly in the second half, although he's been good all season long in the OHL for Flint. Very smart, very skilled, great competitor. Talking to scouts, they love that he has a good variety of deceptive moves. So when Dellandrea's on the attack, you really have to be on guard because he can be a couple of different ways. Had a very good top prospects game, good CHL top prospects game. And again, you know, talking with insiders, they point out, you know, the Firebirds, as I just, you know, said earlier in the podcast, I mean, they're in the basement once again in the OHL. And that, to an extent, can hurt a player's stock unless you're watching. And fortunately for Dellandrea, scouts look at a kid where, you know, you put him on Sault Ste. Marie, and, you know, we're probably talking about him at the same level as, like, Barrett Hayton, who's another very good draft prospect for this year, another, you know, forward. But Dellandrea, what he's been able to do with very little supporting cast, I think speaks to the skill set he has. Essentially, like, you can't really stop him a lot of nights. He's going to put points on the board.
There's obviously a lot of motivation for him personally to raise his draft stock, but it does take a lot of character for a guy to keep going with a team that's struggling in the standings.
Yeah, and what I like about Ty Dellandrea is that when he was drafted by Flint, you know, he's a top 10 pick, but this was during those controversial early seasons where, you had the meddlesome owner, you had, you know, coaching changes and management changes, and you had the league stepping in, and, you know, a lot of young players didn't want to go there. But Dellandrea went, and I think that speaks to his character, that he was willing to go to this team to hear, you know, what they had to offer. And you know, there are good people working in Flint. You know, I mean, they had that big hiccup at the beginning, but things got largely straightened out. And he's having a very nice career there. And I think it's important to recognize that he easily could have said, you know, don't draft me, I'm going to go NCAA, wink, wink. Mm-hmm. But he didn't do that. He took his draft, not seriously, but, you know, he took that as a team that really wanted him, and he's run with it, and I say good for him.
Obviously, Flint's not going to be a part of the OHL playoffs, but it won't be the last chance for scouts to get a look at him this year.
No, you know, assuming nothing happens in the interim, I think he's a great candidate to play for Canada at the World Under-18s. This is a tournament that takes place during the CHL playoffs, so it's essentially, you know, Canada and the World Championships with the Stanley Cup playoffs, where you start off with some guys and then you add as the playoffs go on. But Dellandrea, for me, I think he's going to be one of the top kids available. He could really be a centerpiece of that Canadian squad. And it's a tough tournament for them because all the Europeans are pretty, you know, the junior teams are, you know, almost done by that point. So they're basically at full strength. Team USA always sends the NTDP plus maybe one or two other guys. So they usually win it. You know, we're going to see Jack Hughes, I'm sure. So for Dellandrea, I think this is a great opportunity, you know, to put up some points to, again, just show what he can do on a big stage. And he'll be surrounded by some pretty talented kids. So be fun to see what he can do there.
Before he gets that chance to showcase himself, and obviously that can change things drastically, but as things sit at this moment, where do you see him getting picked this summer?
Well, I think he's earned his way to at least, you got to consider him in the sort of 15 to 25 range. And, you know, it depends on how things shake out with defensemen, because there's a lot of top-end blue liners. So we'll see how many of them go in the top 10. That could have, you know, sort of a domino effect. But also, like, it's not a real strong year for centers. So how does that affect things? Do certain pivots with a lot of potential go a little higher than expected? Do teams take some chances? Or do you look at a guy like Dellandrea and say, this is a kid that can put up points, and you know, has a pretty good all-around game. Like, there's not a lot to complain about with Dellandrea. So he's sort of a quote-unquote safe pick, but one that I think has some pretty nice offensive upside. I would put him in the same category as, like, Akil Thomas in Niagara, and maybe, you know, a couple of other guys in the OHL that are sort of in that range where, you know, they're just pretty good prospects that I think any team would be happy to land in the first round.
Well, the 15 to 25 range may see him end up getting drafted potentially by the Dallas Stars.
Maybe.
And speaking of the Dallas Stars,
Segway!
That is what you call a Segway, folks.
Take that.
The Dallas Stars team spotlight this week. Ryan, you and I were talking about the Stars earlier, and they are an interesting club this year.
A bit of trouble.
Tons of high-end talent, could miss the playoffs very easily, could get in, make a little bit of noise. But that said, they've got a pretty nice little system here with some really key guys in all of the positions. So it's an interesting to look up and down their lineup and see that this is a team that a lot of the holes that they have, specifically in depth, could be filled in the years to come. So let's go through and look at their various prospects. And let's start with Miro Heiskanen in Europe, just because he's really the centerpiece of this system.
He really is. Playing for HIFK, they're in the Liga playoffs right now. So regular season stats, he led the league in ice time, average ice time, that is, because he missed time for injury and Olympics and things like that. I mean, he was in the Olympics, so let's give him a check mark for that. A teenager, not a lot of them there. But playing for HIFK, 25 minutes of ice time per game, 23 points in 30 games from the blue line. I mean, we're going to see him in North America next year. That's just a given. Whether it's with Dallas or if he, you know, spends a little bit of time in Texas in the AHL, you got to see what he can do, you know, on the North American ice surface. And, you know, I mean, he's what you want in a modern NHL defenseman. He's so smart. He moves the puck so well. Obviously, he can contribute on the offensive end and log minutes. So, I mean, you know, there's a reason he went third overall.
Mm-hmm. They're number two overall prospect, at least according to Future Watch. Valeri Nichushkin, he would really solve part of their issues with their depth up front being a right winger.
Oh, yeah, he really would. And it's kind of funny because, you know, we were talking when we were putting together Future Watch that, you know, Nichushkin, he's already been in the NHL, but because he went to the KHL, he's still kind of considered like a prospect at this point. And, you know, I think that's fair because he does need to kind of reprove himself in the NHL. He's had a pretty good year with CSKA Moscow, a.k.a. Red Army for you purists. You know, I think they're probably going to have a pretty good playoff run. KHL playoffs have already begun. But it was a good experience for him. And, you know, we know he's big. We know he's got talent. I think he's probably matured a bit overseas, and that's very important. And now he can come back and really kind of reprove himself. And you're right. I mean, there's spots available on that roster.
Frederik Karlsson also plying his trade overseas, not in Dallas's top 10, but still an intriguing prospect.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked him in the summer at Sweden's World Junior Camp. And at the actual World Juniors, he was pretty decent as well. Great reach on this kid. And I would say, like, this has been a good challenging season for him. It was his first in the SHL playing for Linköping. He was in the Allsvenskan last year, so he's playing against men, but, you know, like a tier down. So he's not getting a ton of points this year, but, you know, there's no need to rush. This is a player with some nice offensive upside, and he's got good size. But, you know, there's still work to be done. And I would obviously like to see him put up more points in the SHL next year to really show that progression.
The goaltender that has Dallas fans really interested, of course, is Jake Oettinger. Playing in the NCAA, been fantastic there this season, and really a guy who could make an NHL impact in a few years.
Yeah, and it's funny, his numbers are actually a little worse this year than they were last year when he was a freshman. He really bailed out some Terrier teams that had a tendency to run around occasionally, but lately he's really been on track, kind of at the right time. The last time he lost in regulation was about a month ago. And, I mean, as I said earlier in headlines, Boston University, they can't afford to lose anymore because they need to, if they want to get into the tournament, they got to win the rest of their games. But Oettinger, I mean, you know, he's got the great size, he's got the athleticism. It's just a matter of, you know, keeping that development going. And I think, you know, as a goaltender, it's great. You know, he can be in the NCAA for 4 years, and for Dallas, he's kind of stored away there, and It's a good spot. And BU, I mean, they're going to be good again. They're a great recruiting team, and he's going to get plenty of starts. So it's all about repetition right now.
They've still got a few years of Ben Bishop left anyways, so there's no rush on him whatsoever. Colton Point also catching your eye.
Yeah, monster season for Colton Point, kid coming out of Canadian Junior A. This was his second year with Colgate, and he just took over. You know, this is his first year as starter, .944 save percentage. Just massive, sub-2.0 goals against average. Got a slot on Canada's World Junior team. And, again, a big goaltender, pressure guy, you know, won his league championship when he was in the CCHL before he got to Colgate. So they're not going to make the tournament. They're out of the ECAC tournament already. So his year's done. But, you know, I think another 2 years with the Raiders will be great for him. He can log a ton of ice time. And, you know, the ECAC, it's challenging because it tends to be an older conference because you got all those Ivy League schools in there. So I think he's in a good place right now.
Let's round out Dallas's NCAA prospects and look at Riley Tufte.
Yeah, playing for Minnesota Duluth. This is a kid that we knew he was going to take time. He was very raw when he was drafted out of Minnesota high school, but we're seeing the progression now. He's almost doubled his offensive output in his sophomore year from his freshman year. The Bulldogs are once again a very good team in the NCHC, and you know, Tufte's getting stronger, and he can be that power winger. You know, it's funny, like he was always compared to Nick Bjugstad dad because like they went to the same high school and they actually know each other and they're about the same size. You know, like Tufte's already listed at 6'6", 220. He's gonna have another couple of years in the gym at Duluth. I'll make him even more potent, and again, it's just a matter of getting those reps and rounding out his game, and I think he's on a good track.
Stars have a trio of prospects playing the OHL.
Yeah, and you know, some interesting kids here, starting with Jason Robertson with Kingston. He's put up a ton of points this year, and the knock on Robertson is his skating, and it's something that's, you know, obviously a bit of a red flag. But man, I mean, he puts a ton of points on the board and he's got great size, 6'3", 210. You know, Kingston, this is a year where they could make some noise in the Eastern Conference playoffs. He'll be a big part of that. So, he just has to keep going and hopefully he can get that, quickness going a bit more. Then you got Nicholas Camano, playing for Hamilton. The Bulldogs are one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Camano was, actually traded from Flint to the Bulldogs this year, and I actually saw one of his first games with Hamilton. Didn't look like he had any problem fitting in. Just a great producer there. And then Liam Howell with Guelph. This is an interesting player because still got a lot of growing to do. He's got a great tall frame. And there's a lot of potential there. He's putting up points for the Storm, but he's still filling out. So I think Liam Howell is sort of like a long-term prospect where, I mean, he's definitely going to play, you know, his entire career in the OHL. You know, he's not going to be a guy that leaves early. But it'll be fun to see in particular what he can do next year as that team continues to sort of grow together.
The Dallas Stars have four prospects in the top 100 overall prospects, according to Future Watch. Heiskanen slots in at number 3, Nikushkin at 46. Their two other prospects, Jason Dickinson and Gurianov, come in at 84 and 98, respectively. Dickinson and Gurianov and Rupe Hines, their number 5 prospect, not a top 100 guy, all plying their trades in the AHL. Let's start with Dickinson, a kid who's really knocking on the door to be a full-time NHLer.
Yeah, and he's gotten some call-ups already with Dallas, so he's getting that NHL experience. And, you know, the thing Dallas likes about him is that you can kind of put him anywhere in the lineup. He's got some good size, and, you know, he can kill penalties, he can be that checker, but, you know, going back to his OHL days, you know, we know he can put the puck in the net, and we know he can put up numbers, so a nice, versatile player there. With Gurianov, they're definitely slow playing him, and that's by design. He's had an okay year in the AHL. You know, I think the defensive side of things is still a work in progress. You'd like to see him have a couple more points. I think, you know, for a first rounder that had so much offensive potential, I'd like to see him dominate the AHL. So I think there's definitely going to be at least one more year with Texas for him. And then Rupe Hintz, pretty interesting kid. I saw him in a couple of World Juniors, great size. And, you know, he can play, you know, like Dickinson, he can do kind of a couple of different things out there on the ice. So he gives you versatility. And, you know, pretty solid first season in North America, getting used to things over here. Obviously, he played in Finland before that. But I think he's a player where, you know, You'll start seeing the call-ups, and I think that he could really make an impression because he's a pretty hard-working kid.
You say Rupe Hintz, I say Rupe Hintz, or Rupe Hintz. Tomato, tomato. I'm betting you're right, though.
with Finns, you never know. I probably am wrong.
That's our look around the world of prospects for this week. Next week, we're going to focus in on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Thanks so much for listening. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm host Edward Fraser. We'll talk to you next time.